Bucky Bacall with the Backyard Chicken Broadcast. Today I'm going to talk about Easter and other seasonal holidays and chickens. Now I really don't know how Easter and chickens got tied up together, but it's pretty obvious that the Christian holy day of Easter and baby chickens have no formal relationship. I know some people make credible claims that decorating eggs and giving them as gifts or hiding them for kids to find, as well as various activities with newborn fowl, are rooted in pagan celebrations of spring and fertility. But none of those claims are fully substantiated. I will say, on the other hand, that the seasonal interest in chickens does make a lot of common sense. Most of us backyard farmers are starting to see a regular supply of eggs as part of the change of season. Many hens have been laying just long enough to gather a clutch and attempt to hatch them. For many small and hobby farmers, the first chicks of the year will be born around now, and that is certainly cause to celebrate. In the spirit of the transition theme, I'd like to share two pieces of news with listeners. Their significance is pretty personal, especially for one, but in both cases I do believe they speak to the broader themes all we current chickeners and soon-to-be chickeners share. First of all, I'm sad to say the original Bacall flock, the hens who started me on my love affair with chickens and led me to be a chicken evangelist, are now all deceased. Quincy, as reported here, died a few months ago. And just last week, Neem and Quinoa, along with their brand new companion, Curly, all succumbed to an attack by a particularly determined raccoon. Kevin Bayhouse, keeper of the flock, who has been a topic, guest, and correspondent on this show, check the archives at radioforall.com if you haven't heard, was dismayed to deliver the news to me. I was glad to hear, though, that Kevin re-examined his coop security protocols and aims to start chickening again. He's been a devoted chickener and an ambassador for sustainability, urban agriculture, and chickening for many years now, and it means a lot to me that the benefits and pleasures of chickens are too great for him to quit in the face of adversity. And speaking of not quitting in the face of adversity, another topic of Bacall episodes past, although I'm a little ashamed to admit I still haven't had him on the show, Joseph Pond finally wrung a victory out of the obstinate Cobb County government. And on February 26th, the Cobb Board of Commissioners voted 3-2 to allow citizens to file for a variance to allow hens on less than 2 acres, which is an even bigger victory than it sounds. Mr. Pond is the very definition of a man who sticks by his principles and does so with an admirable degree of equanimity and humor. The saga of how his beloved flock was banned and the years of effort that went into decriminalizing Cobb County chickens for the benefit of the entire community is as Byzantine and strange as 1984, Brazil, or any of those weird stories of surreal oppression. Part of the reason he hasn't been on the show is I get overwhelmed trying to squeeze his story into 8 minutes or attempting to capture a piece of it out of context. Fortunately, it's all thoroughly documented in various places. I recommend starting with the Backyard Chicken Alliance, founded by Joe, and its website, Backyard Chicks, Backyard, CHIX.org. And we will have him on the show someday. For now, congratulations, Joe, and everyone in Cobb County, Georgia. I hope this is a huge chick season in Georgia. Wherever you are, it's time to start thinking about your gardens. And if you're not already a backyard chickener, and you're interested in taking a preemptive strike against earwigs and other pests without resorting to chemicals, now's the time to adopt some baby chickens. If you're serious about getting started with chickens, seriously ready to start raising chickens for life as workers and our pets, for their valuable manure, for pest control, and for eggs, there's more information than ever on how to do it. But of course, I hope you'll start by tuning in next week when I'll be broadcasting my Chick Basics show. I do hope that anyone who gets started on chicks is truly committed to the responsibility. Ideally, anyone adopting or buying a chick is ready to pursue the Bucky Bacall agenda of resisting the corporate takeover of our ability to feed ourselves through the pursuit of backyard chickenry. Either way, I must discourage you from buying a chick on an impulse as some kind of disposable toy of the week for a young child. There are things that are perfectly appropriate to do on impulse. Spontaneously showing affection to a loved one. Doing an impromptu piece of anti-genetically modified food performance art in the aisles at your local grocery store. But not buying a baby chick. If you know chickens like I do, you know that baby chickens are needy and full of fear. They need a lot of attention, and although easy to raise in many ways, can also be too delicate for a young child. I shouldn't have to tell you that it's cruel to give a living thing to a small child as if it's a toy, that the child might squeeze to death or kill from neglect. Not just cruel to the chick, but cruel to the child who may, as I've heard from many adults, never forget the trauma of feeling responsible for chick death. It's also cruel to raise a chick for a while as a sort of experiment, with no plan for transitioning it to the backyard, or a friendly local flock, or even your pot. And then when it gets too big, abandon it somewhere where it won't be able to fend for itself. No, chickens deserve proper treatment in exchange for all the benefits they provide humanity. Finally, I'd like to say a few words about the source of any chicks you may choose to adopt. I've talked about the abuses of factory farms on this show several times before, so won't go into too much detail now. But just in case you haven't heard it already, conventional hatcheries, egg farms, and roaster producers, who do side businesses in the seasonal pet store trade, are guilty of extreme overcrowding, painful and senseless debeaking, substandard diets, and excessive medication. You don't want to support that. And you should also know that birds from factory farms run a high risk of salmonella, so that cute baby chick is likely to make you pretty sick just from handling it. The same goes for any eggs you might think about coloring or putting on your Seder plate. Do you really want to celebrate the renewal of life that is spring, or your seasonal religious holiday, by buying a bunch of factory eggs that are brought to you at the cost of animal suffering? And why not make sure your ceremonial eggs have the full nutritional value of the true free-range egg that inspired our traditions? The good news, now more than ever, thanks to the growing popularity of small and micro-flock chickening, is you can source chicks, or fertilized eggs, or eggs for ceremonial eating, from ethical sources. These places might not be as easy to find as the local chain pet or feed supply chain store, but a quick look in the paper or a few inquiries of your friends and neighbors, and I guarantee you'll find a backyard chickener just a stone's throw from wherever you live. Believe me, we're everywhere. If you're planning to celebrate spring with a baby chick, a great way to start that celebration is by picking up your chick on a visit to a place where the chickens are raised with care and love. Because as far as I'm concerned, few things represent the beauty of spring as much as seeing a bunch of happy hens pecking away at the sudden abundance of worms and bugs and greens, clucking happily in the warm air and giving themselves dust baths in the nice warm soil, and showing their new chicks how to follow their example. If you're having trouble finding a chick source on your own, contact me at bucky@buckybacaw.org, and I'll see if I can help you. Be warned, I want you to compensate the broadcast community by being a guest on a future show. This is Bucky Bacaw. I had a good time.